Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. Let me start off by thanking our sponsors, and that includes Novus International, a leader in animal health and nutrition for the poultry, beef, aqua, dairy, and pork markets, as well as Leica Geosystems, when it has to be right. In this week's program, we're going to talk about the International Federation of Agricultural Journalists. They just held their annual meeting, which they call their annual Congress, and that was in Belgium, and yours truly did not get to go thanks to a volcanic ash cloud. But to get some retrospective on it, I spoke with Mike Wilson. He is the president of IFAJ, as it's known, and also editor for Farm Futures, works for Farm Progress Companies, and a good friend. And so I talked to him on the phone to get some information about his experience there in Belgium, which is where the Congress was held. And so I'm going to let him tell us all about it. Mike, I sure was disappointed not to be able to attend this year's IFAJ Congress. And, you know, you're our leader on the international organizational level. It had to be also disappointing for the organizers there, too, that some of us couldn't make it thanks to that volcano. But I'd like to get a little bit of retrospective from you on this year's Congress, especially since I couldn't be there. And let's just maybe kind of start with the fact that we did have this interruption in the ability for some people to get there. But some who did make it had to go to some extraordinary lengths to do so, right?
That's true, Chuck. I've been telling people this story. Journalists go looking for stories, but this time the story found us. Basically, we got into, some of us got into Belgium just a few hours before all the airports in Europe closed down. And of course, no one could have possibly predicted something like volcanic ash coming from someplace like Iceland, causing such a disturbance. So the Congress started out as a bit of an emotional roller coaster, in fact, because I think the folks who organized the thing were a little bit disappointed at first. They were a little worried. We started seeing some emails from people who were stuck in airports in Singapore and other places around the world. But then we started also seeing people in Europe, anyway, saying to us in emails, well, we're going to come anyway. We're going to get in the ferries and the cars and trains. Some of them came 10 hours, 20 hours, 25 hours with their colleagues, drove all night just to be there for one or two days of the Congress. And so it started off being a little bit disappointing, and it ended up being rather inspiring.
Yeah, it definitely was, even to those of us who couldn't be there. But when you look at the event itself, I know from reading what you wrote about it on the IFAJ website that it still was an inspiration to see how the organizers stayed enthusiastic. And I think that kind of came through in some of the things that they were writing and posting onto the conference website, too.
That's absolutely true. I was there to see this firsthand from the first night. The guys who were stepping up to the microphones, talking to us, kind of showing us the way, what we were going to be seeing, they could have been a little bit downhearted, but they weren't. They were inspiring, and that enthusiasm kind of bled through to everybody else who was able to make it. And I think one thing we should note here is that we were kind of fortunate that the pre-Congress tour had so many people on it, and that's partly why we didn't have as many cancellations, too, because those folks were already in Europe.
Right.
But we were truly inspired, and I would like to say hats off to the people in Belgium. You know, I don't think a lot of Americans really knew much about Belgium. We kind of think of it as a country that's sandwiched in between Holland and France, but in fact, it's a very important country historically. It's culturally a rich country, food, music, obviously, as you know, the beer and the chocolates are right. to die for, and we were able to experience some of that. But I would say that the great success of this Congress is due to the fact that the organizers were hard-nosed journalists. They really knew that they were preparing a Congress for working journalists. So they gave everybody a chance to go out and do interviews and take photos and really get a sampling of agriculture in their country. And, of course, the bonus on that is all the ag policy activity that is that goes on in Brussels. So I really think that those guys deserve a lot of credit.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Congress itself. You know, some of the you were a participant there, and when you look at the presenters, the speakers, what are some of the things that stood out for you there and or on the tours as well?
Well, I wasn't able to go on a lot of the tours because we had so many IFAJ duties, but the people who came back from the tours were pretty excited about them. They had a chance to see things like biogas programs on farms. And, you know, it's a small-scale agriculture. It's not one that we're necessarily used to in commodity, you know, production in America, but it's certainly important agriculture. One thing I do remember, as it stands out to me even now, is that these folks are able to do all their business with a multicultural, multi-language situation. And, you know, we often make jokes about Europe and, well, England and America being separated by common language. But these guys have to figure out how to do business in Dutch, French, and Flemish. And they do it. They get it done. And it's kind of a marvel to see. The other thing that stands out to me is a discussion, well, it was a speech, really, given by basically the top farmer leader, who's the president of the farm group in Belgium. And he gave a talk, and it mirrors a lot of the issues that we talk about in this country in terms of how farmers must become more engaged with their audience. They must talk more to their consumers. And it really kind of was one of those moments where you think, well, we're all in this together.
Yeah. And I know that we've had a real emphasis on getting young people involved, whether that's through working with a sponsor like Alltech. And I think here at this Congress, the Belgians organized even something new in bringing in journalists from developing countries, too. So it seems like, you know, lots being going on to help develop more interest, whether it's in youth or people from countries where we've not had a lot of participation, right?
That's absolutely true, Chuck. And I will say again, hats off to Alltech for their continuing commitment to bringing in young journalists. We have a contest basically to try to surface young journalists who are working in agriculture from around the world, and we give them a travel stipend to come to the Congress, thanks to Alltech. Some of those journalists couldn't make it this year because of the air traffic situation, but we'll see them next year. The other program that you mentioned, it was basically a brainchild idea from Jacques Van Autry, who was one of the Congress organizers there in Belgium. This is one of his dreams, and it was to bring in these journalists from developing countries working with a partnering organization called AgriTerra and AgriCord, which has connections with folks in developing countries. And this was truly inspirational. Again, I use that word too many times perhaps, but this program basically allowed us to meet with journalists in Africa, Argentina, Brazil, and many of these are folks who are not members of IFAJ and probably never even heard of IFAJ. And further to that, they have a lot of challenges in getting their jobs done, challenges that we couldn't possibly dream of. But having spoken to them and listening to them talk during the meetings, it was clear that we all have the same kind of purpose in mind, and that is to try and get the word out to farmers and try to help farmers do a better job at their making a living. And we found a lot of commonalities when we had our chances to build relationships with them. And as a result of that, we're going to try to establish the same kind of program next year when the IFHA Congress is in Canada, September 2011, and possibly make this an ongoing program.
Well, that sounds great, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting to a Congress since I didn't make last year's either, but let's see. How would you describe, based on the people that you spoke with, met with here, and I know you do sort of on an ongoing basis as being in a leadership position with IFAJ, but how would you kind of characterize the state of agricultural journalism around the world? And by that, I mean, are we seeing more people interested in getting into the business? Do we continue to see challenges, and what might some of those be, especially in countries that might have some problems with what we call it, open and the ability to do a job in journalistically speaking?
True. Well, it's interesting. We just had a report back from our Freedom of the Press representative on the IFAJ exec, and he has told us that there are fewer and fewer countries now that have free press. It was an alarming number of countries. It's something like 17% that have a totally free press. Hmm. So this means, and when you think about the where agriculture needs to grow around the world, it's going to have to do so with a press corps that is a bit challenged to begin with. But to answer your question, your initial question, I don't know if we have a great surge in the number of jobs available for agricultural communicators. I don't think it's necessarily up or down. I do know that when you look at the United Nations and their projections of 9 billion people on the planet by the year 2050, and you think that 60% of the growth in population is going to be coming from developing countries, it's those areas of the world that need agricultural journalists the most. So I think in general, it's never been a better time to be involved in covering agriculture. I think it's an exciting time. I think it's never been more relevant to be a communicator working in this field. And I think that the more we can help farmers and consumers, obviously farmers from a perspective of helping them do a better job and consumers of telling the farmer's story, agricultural communications has never been more relevant, and it's going to just continue to grow.
Good. I would echo that. I feel the same way, to tell you the truth, whether it's here in the United States or other parts of the world, and hope that the work of an organization like IFAJ can help encourage and foster more opportunities there.
Anything, well, I hope so, too.
Yeah, anything else about this year's Congress that either stood out or people who could not make it might be interested to know that we haven't touched on?
Well, sad to say, we can't. We've been talking to the Congress organizers, and there's no way that we can offer refunds. It's just one of those costs of doing business when you have to pay for meals and hotels in advance, so that's one kind of a downside, but I don't think anybody's necessarily happy about that, but it has to be done. But
now, I understand. It's not an inexpensive investment, you know.
No. And the other thing is, I think we're really sensitive to the fact that the Congress does cost the money, and we need to do some more planning to make sure that the Congress costs stay low. I use the word Congress, and that kind of confuses some people in North America, but basically that's our annual meeting. Mm-hmm. And everybody has told us over and over again, it's the best IFHA experience is a chance to go talk to people from other countries at a Congress. And we experienced that in Texas. We're sorry you couldn't make it, but we're sure glad you're back on your feet. And, of course, this year we had this strange little hiccup with the air traffic. We're just hoping that next year in Canada, everything will be normal, and we'll get lots and lots of people. But we really are seeing a huge interest in more people coming to Congress. And as long as we can try and keep those costs down, I think that it'll be a good thing to do.
Well, speaking as an American, you know, it's we'll be looking at least at a different exchange rate for currency.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, I really appreciate it, Mike. I know that it was a great meeting. I knew it was going to be and had looked forward to it. But, there's always reasons why these things happen. And so,
yeah. Chance for you to come next year, Chuck. I want to see you at one of these meetings. It's been a long time.
I know. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. But, well, again, thank you very much, Mike. And we'll look forward to staying in touch and just direct people who want more information about IFAJ to the new website, which really has become much more of a resource for the organization and for agricultural journalists at ifaj.org.
Yeah, thank you. We continue to tweak that thing because we realize technology is going to be the best way for us to communicate and keep pushing forward our goals.
Well, as you heard say, next year the IFAJ Congress will take place in Canada. And I don't think there's any volcanoes in between here and there, at least. So hope I will get to go to that one. Well, that's the Zimcast for this week. I'm going to leave you with some music from Music Alley. This is a band called Three Fine Lines. And the song is Strolling Through Belgium. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.